Yes, I should have sent out an earlier notice about the phone change thing, but typical Mercury coming out of its shadow, I didn't even realize I had an issue with the phone until about an hour ago, and I thought, oh my gosh, okay, I'm just going to change the number. So what happened today was Mercury returned to the point that it was at when it started its retrograde several weeks back. So that means that as of today, we start to move more into forward-moving communication. So if there's been any delays, if something hasn't really come together yet that has to do with a contract, a communication, a conversation, a message from a sibling, a neighbor, something like that, today is the day when you'll start to see a lot more movement in those areas. One of the things that we're coming into as we get into May, in mid-May, is the full moon. And that full moon occurs on the 17th. And the full moon on the 17th is in the sign of Scorpio. And this is, I mean, basically, you weren't on the call I had last week, but I gave a complimentary call that I still am going to archive it and put it up. I'm going to send it out to people, anyone who wants to listen. But it was talking about the energies and things that were going on last weekend, which was a very powerful weekend for world events. There was the royal wedding, and then 48 hours later, it was the whole Bin Laden thing. And so a lot of events are really speeding up in a way, but also very this kind of peak thing, where something that looks like it's the biggest news can quickly get shadowed by something that comes along and is even bigger news. And it's just, it reminds me of those, this is dating myself, but the early computer game of Pac-Man with those little heads that would go and gobble up the next one. And it was just, that's what's occurring, is what's coming next, what's bigger, what's bigger, what's bigger. And it's not as though it all has to be bad that comes up and overshadows the last thing, although quite honestly, the Bin Laden piece is going to have a lot more staying power. And the royal couple is probably just as happy that they aren't getting highlighted in the same way that they were. But there, with the full moon coming into Scorpio next week, there is a hastening of this kind of very strong Mars-Pluto energy. And Mars is what's assertive and how we go after what we desire and express our libido. And Pluto is power. And energetically, this has a lot of thrust to it of things that are pushing for to be heard. Now, what happens when the full moon occurs on the 17th is that Mars has moved into early degree Taurus. Mars moves into Taurus on the 15th. Right now, Mars is in Aries, and there was this very powerful Aries stellium last week that was like this fireball of energy. As Mars moves into Taurus, that fireball of energy starts to get more of a staying power, more of a slow burn than as incendiary as it was last week. But not only does it do the slow burn thing, but since it's in the Earth sign Taurus, it trines. It's in complementary, and it's complementary in an energetic fashion with Pluto, which is in early degrees Capricorn. And this is the, it's like the, I don't know if I'd use the word inferno. I'm thinking more, I'm picturing a like an old coal furnace where you have it, or a wood stove where you get that real, like, concentrated heat, and it's all red and intense. And that's the kind of energy that's happening. Now, it's contained. When it's contained, it's warming, it heats a home, it's lovely, but all you have to do is open that door, and you've got, it's hotter than you can stand. And that's the kind of energy that Pluto-Mars has when it's together. It's when it's controlled and it's in a like laser-like focus, there is nothing more intense than a Pluto-Mars combination. But if in any way it's not controlled, or the power is misused, or it's unbridled, then it is it's a force to be reckoned with. Now, with the full moon in Scorpio, Scorpio being the sign that is connected to both those planets, this is really showing a combustible combination of that energy. And one of the things I do is I work with young people, not in astrology, but I do work with young people, teenage people. And one of the young girls, we were talking about what happened with Bin Laden and what their thoughts were. And she commented on that the part she found so disturbing was America's, well, I shouldn't generalize, but groups of kids she knew that would walk around screaming kind of USA and making jokes and this sort of like our team won energy. And she found it very disturbing because she thought, don't they realize what they're doing? That's like taunting the guy who's down. And when you taunt the guy who's down, you basically set up a situation where he wants to attack back. And I thought that was pretty observant of a 15-year-old kid. But also I realized, well, this 15-year-old girl is seeing that. And grown people aren't really registering that as adding to that volatility of that Mars-Pluto. Now, I'm not one to forecast terrorism or disaster or difficulties in that area, but I am pointing out that for each of us as individuals, there's that kind of energy that's around all of us, where you have that kind of ability to stoke that fire, whatever that fire may be. And the person who's most aware of how and why they're stoking it is the one who can use that power in a way that's very effective. The person who's just sort of feeling the heat of the power and the energy of the power and fueling the power without any foresight or perception is setting up it's like a kid with igniter. It's just not a good combination. So it's very, very important as we go into this full moon energy is to think in terms of what rouses you to battle. And when I say battle, I mean what is your vision or your peace that you're working with. It could be a health issue that you need to really kind of be aware of how to judiciously use that energy. It could be a financial issue. It could be a business issue. It could be a power issue with someone who you're working with, either in a familial way or business way, or relationship, romantic way. Whatever it is, it's important to hone it and make it as exact as you can for yourself as an individual, because I think what happens when we get into that kind of pack mentality or crowd mentality and we're feeling ineffectual, we're feeling like our finances aren't the way we want them to be, we're feeling residual anger or frustration, And so it's that kind of frustration or inverted anger that can make people act out in ways that are probably not as smart as if they were really thinking about it, maybe they should behave. And one thing about however one might feel about our president and our government is that the man in charge is not handling the situation as though the game has been won. He's handling it in much more of a calculated, cool manner. And so at least the head of state is not presenting fist-waving, USA, USA. So, and just as a person who looks at symbols and looking at that very volatile full moon energy that occurs next week, it's not a bad idea to just kind of temper anger however it may come up. Like tonight at dinner, my husband and I have a very, his Mars is on his descendant natally, so that means he likes to pick arguments with his partner. Then again, he says, well, he just finds himself with argumentative partners. I mean, whatever. Anyway, he ends up, I mean, we get into these little kind of crazy squabbles sometimes, and I've been on this, walk my talk thing for the past several weeks, where I'm really kind of pulling down a lot of my philosophies and ways of thinking to make it every minute in the home. And it's quite challenging when somebody just really wants to kind of get things going and have a nice little argument. So tonight I just thought, no, I'm not gonna get into it. I'm just gonna keep. And the difference I noticed tonight, and I think this is the other thing with the Mercury going, moving out of its shadow, because it's as though something in my brain got it. The difference I noticed in tonight was I wasn't just suppressing annoyance or anger. I really was not angry. It was, no, I'm not going to engage. I am not feeling in any way triggered by this. I'm just not engaged. And needless to say, it just kind of died its way out, and that was that. And that is a way that it would behoove most of us to behave over the next several weeks, because
or more, because that philosophy right there, I think is key.
Oh yeah.
How to deal with life, but it's great that this situation, Mars Pluto aspect, has so intensified and highlighted it, and. But I think that your take on it is just perfect. And I've been going in this direction more and more over the past several months, and it's becoming more and more intense as I go through. And even today, I had lots of opportunities to go into my anger mode, but just like yourself. I walked away from it, and I found I really saw through the illusion of the anger, and was so thankful to myself and to whatever teaching I've been receiving that I've been able to finally get a handle on that whole anger frustration syndrome.
Right. And I just realized both you and I have very natally very strong Mars-Pluto aspects, so it's just interesting because it's, and then the other thing that occurred to me is that I actually am going to write about this. I asked my client if I could do this. She came in last week, and we were talking about different things, and she said, well, I work with three Catholics in my business, and I decided I was going to give something up for Lent. Now, this woman is not Catholic, but she just, after working with them for years, she thought, I think I'm going to give up something for Lent. Because, if they're in an office, I guess it's something to talk about, like people who buy lottery tickets. So she said, I decided I was going to give up something for Lent. And she came in and she announced, I'm going to give up anger for Lent. And I was blown blown away with how profound that was. Not only that, but because of what was happening to her with transits, and very similar to what I'm talking about with it, how this Pluto is hitting her exactly. So she was going to give up anger, and people said to her, but you never get angry. So, and of course she does, because again, she's somebody who internalizes it, usually yeah. doesn't ever get angry in front of people she knows, and then will blow up randomly at some mechanic or something. But she held the line for 40 days. She didn't, and she learned so much. And yes. she said that afterwards she thought, I'm just not going to get angry anymore. And it's not that she's not going to react, but she realized the difference. And I told her that it took somebody like her to teach the people who practice by giving up, you know, cookies or drinking for a few weeks, and then they go back to everything. But I think that's the whole message of the giving up. It's the really giving something up that you're attached to that's an addiction so that you can know yourself more.
That's the whole thing, you know, that's stopping the advancement of any political dialogue. And also, it's so pathetic, you know, that American, oh, we got them, you know, like you said, their reaction and their go USA, how pathetic is that? You know, no. They don't see how that is going to have a reaction just on the average person in Pakistan or wherever, you know. It's,
right.
So, you know, we have a lot of growing to do as a country as well as individually.
It's an unconscious reaction, and
It is unconscious. And that was the word you didn't say so far. It's consciousness that is, you know, so the main word that we need in this confrontation with our own inner anger. And
Right. And so the full moon in Scorpio, because Scorpio energy is all about transformation, and full moon, whatever happens, it's. The full moon is when the moon is illuminated by the sun. So the sun is in Taurus, the opposite sign. Mars is in Taurus, even though they aren't connecting in degree. They're very wide apart, but it's the same sign. So energetically, you're getting this ability to be illuminated or see a part of your dream mind or your inner soul work that has to do with transformation. Scorpio always is the lowest manifestation, is that revenge thing or wanting to strike out. And I think that there can be this greater awareness of that reaction to strike out, to take it to a higher level where you see, okay, that might be my first reaction, but then I can choose if I'm going to stay in that place or if I'm going to move from it and see things in a wider vista. And that, you know, it is my hope that the scales tip and more people see it that way than the way certainly the news has been blasting, that people have been seeing it for the past week or so. So that is the full moon, because the thing that starts to happen, I just want to see if there's anything else I wanted to mention about May before we get into the June forecast, because June is a very big month for a lot of very fast-moving and changeable energy. So, right, the other thing about, as I said, Mars going into Taurus, is that it precedes Jupiter entering Taurus, which occurs in early June, June 4th. And so it's as though we start to get our mojo going with the Taurus energy of the slower burn and the staying with somebody, whereas when it was in Aries, it's like the ideas are flying, but we're not necessarily grounded or follow through in the same way. But now we're starting to get into the stride of seeing more about, you know, really feel the burn and stay with the project, with the stay on track. And when Jupiter goes into Taurus, we move from the, which is good for Earth sign people, anyone who has strong Taurus or any of the Earth signs, and Jupiter moving into a new sign affects different people differently, but for until I think it's the end of the year, it'll be in the sign of Taurus, which bodes well for projects that require intuitiveness, people who work with their hands, people who are investing time into a project. These are all good manifestations of Jupiter and Taurus. And wherever any of the planets are and whatever sign they're in, they're always affecting all of us in different ways. But with Jupiter, the similarity is wherever it's touching is going to be expanded. So the opportunities expand with people who are in Taurus-type work, which has to do with any kind of design, working landscape like you do, Vinny, anything that has to do with trade that is actually a physical object that's being traded, jewelry to some extent, tangible products, cooking things, restaurants, all these things, oh, and real estate, all these things become more tangible in the public's eyes as being ways that they want to expand or feel luck. Now, some people predict that the real estate market's going to improve and finances are going to improve. I don't know if I'd go that far. We may see a resurgence of faith in certain commodities, but it's not going to be like the magic bullet that makes it all go away. The long term, with the financial astrologers, the people who really know this stuff well, I mean, we still have a couple more years before we get to the other side of this cycle. So it doesn't mean that there can't be an upswing on certain things and actually certain businesses. But I would be remiss to say, oh, it's all magically going to start to evaporate and we'll start to see much, much freer markets with certain things moving better than they have. So
my feeling in the real estate is that the foreclosures are going to continue and bring down the prices. So this is really not a time to expect too much magic in the
I think that you're feeling gold
and silver are.
Right. We might. I think that one of the things that might be shifting is that the amount of foreclosures may start to stem off and not be quite as dramatic as it has been. But you're absolutely right that having such a glut of foreclosures is bringing down all the markets. So that can't magically go away because it's been so much of it with, and banks being gun shy after their losses. Well, you know, it's lessons all around.
Right.
But on the other hand, as I was saying earlier about the Pluto-Mars energy, that can be incredibly directed. So if somebody's vision or concept or determination is to personally succeed or achieve in specifically real estate in the climate over the next 6 months, he or she can do that because it's that kind of focus. But it requires that cool determination and gathering the energy instead of trying to manipulate it for personal gain, because those people are always going to still the coals on their feet. Because when you play with that kind of fire, you certainly will get burned. You may not get burned tomorrow, but you will get burned. So, right. So as we go into June, June 1st is the first eclipse. There are two eclipses in the month of June. And eclipses are incredibly dynamic energy. It's when we get a window of information and we can see something in ways that we haven't seen it before. They are not good days on themselves to begin something. The first one, June 1st, is the new moon, and it's the new moon in Gemini. It happens at 11 Gemini. And it is usually new moons are really good times, as people have heard me say, to plant seeds, to begin new ideas, to throw out things that have outworn their use, and to get in the mode for new starts. But with an eclipse, it is so unpredictable. Because it's like the difference between when you light a gas burner and it sets right on, you see the gas burner burn, or when you're going to turn it on and the pilot light isn't quite catching, and you're seeing this kind of back and forth, and you don't know if it's going to catch or not, and the cat sitting on the counter and a little too close to the flame, and the curtains are blowing close to the flame, so it's just kind of like too many things going on energy. In Gemini, it's even more chaotic, I believe, in today's world, because we see so many changes and erratic things fly around because of how people get information today. Twitter can start a conversation that within minutes goes around the world. So rumors can just fly and die in minutes. And that kind of excitement can be a lot of fun for something that's pure gossip, but it can also be disastrous with a leak or something that is information that you really don't want to fly at that velocity. So the new moon solar eclipse that occurs on June 1st, the Sabian symbol, when I first read it, I went, because it says, a Topsy saucily asserting herself. And the reason I gasped is not because it's a particularly scary image, but because it is an extraordinarily dated phrase. I mean, the Sabian symbols were channeled in 1925, and were Elsie Wheeler channeling them now, she would not call a young girl a Topsy, but that was how she saw this child, and that's how she labeled her. So taking apart the phrase for what the phrase means without, you know, worrying about its political correctness is to see this vibrant child who is not going to, who's probably a slave because she's calling her a Topsy, vibrant child who is nonetheless declaring who she is and not, you know, not concerned or worried or, you know, in her whole childlike expression of self. And I think that that's a lovely image, but the other thing that I am aware of with it, with what I was just talking about with the erratic energy of Twitter, is that we it's not that I would want to clamp down on a child about her self-expression, but there is that awareness of how that child is contained and what she's allowed to do. So symbols are all pieces of self, and these images that are channeled are like tarot cards. It's just the tarot cards are all information, or the planets as they fall in your horoscope, all information that pertains to each and every one of us, because as unique as we all are, we all are connected. We all have similar energy, except for the separateness or the difference of the soul. And one of the interpretations or lessons I had in this was, where do you feel trapped? Where do you feel enslaved? Where do you feel like you have to be beholden to someone, or you have to contain yourself in some way? And if that is part of your truth, because it's a survival thing, or because you must behave a certain way for your job or occupation, or in order to work within the parameters of the law or whatever system you're a part of, you still don't want to do that at the cost of your self-expression and your soul's purpose. So the lesson in this image is to think, how can, if you're feeling so contained, whatever it may be, what peace could come out if you could look at that with the innocence of a child, or the humor and vivacity that a child has, that has no, you know, does a child who is born in slavery, if she's treated well, necessarily know she's a slave until she gets to a certain point of self-expression, when she gets tamped down. So it's testing those boundaries and seeing how to express self, because to some extent, it's not that we're all slaves, but to some extent, we are all prisoners of whatever our Maya is, our view of reality, or the actual limitations we have, whatever they may be, either financial or because of responsibilities, etc., etc. We are all shackled to something. And it's nice when we're not, if we can live that for a while, or believe we're living it for a while. But to be unshackled and have free expression within the limitations, I think that's the lesson of this new moon. So it's whatever you feel your limitations are, or your prison, or your box, because it's a goal or something you've committed to, you still have the ability for self-expression, humor, celebration, joy, and that is the playfulness of the Gemini new moon. Now, that being said, I also was going on about all this, the electric spontaneity of things like Twitter and messages that get out. So that kind of message that can happen is all part of who do you give that view of yourself and playfulness to. And that if someone were to have that kind of, let me just make this a joke, because that's the way, that's the other side of it, the dark side of it. Let me just take this prank, this joke out there. But jokes can turn very quickly bizarre, stale, or dangerous in today's world. So stay more in the playful energy, and be aware that messages that come through, especially in June, may not be what you think they are, because Gemini energy can be the coyote, the trickster. And so the message, whatever it may be, that may capture you or interest you or engage you, just know that if it sounds off, it probably is. Okay. And then, right on its heels, is the full moon, which is a lunar eclipse. And that happens a couple of weeks later, on the 15th, and that one is in Sagittarius. And that, let me just get to that point. I'm quickly scrolling. That Sagittarius new moon, full moon, lunar eclipse, Sabian symbol is a chubby boy on a hobby horse. And to look at a full moon, as I said about the Scorpio moon that happens in May, you always want to look at the opposite, the sun. And the sun sign is a man trimming palms. So I was playing with those two symbols, and I was very caught with the idea. Once again, I mean, the chubby boy is more childlike enthusiasm. So there's something very playful, new beginning, exuberance occurring in June, which in many ways could be a huge relief after all the heavy energy we've been coming through. But the other side of that is sometimes when children are kind of testing their boundaries and getting overexcited, they are not aware of subtleties or the power in conversation or taunts or ways that they can say things. So it's very important, as you're stretching into whatever it may be that you're doing for the first time or in a new energy way, is to make sure you're aware and present with how you're being heard, as well as what it is you need to say. So it's a balance, because you need to express yourself. You need to, we all need to actually be more accountable, be more present, be more responsible. It's the time of laissez-faire kind of complacency is really a thing of the past. It doesn't energetically work in as we're moving into making the shift. And so even that chubby boy who's on the hobby horse is feeling this kind of, and why is he chubby? Is he chubby because he's just that kind of baby fat way as kids move, or is he eating the wrong foods? But obviously he's not lethargic. He's engaged, he wants to move, he's excited by this fantasy of being on the horse, whatever he's doing. And so that kind of trying to capture the power and motion back to the Mars-Pluto energy is, let's capture that motion in a really excited way, but you want to do it with the calculated attention of detail with that man who's trimming the palms. Now, why is a man trimming the palms? A man trims palms because they've grown to a point where they obstruct the view, or they have brown ends, and he wants to make them look more consistent, and maybe it's a design thing. But it's about calculating, because you don't want to cut them too far down, or they aren't pretty anymore, and it's not good for the plant. So it's got to be cut at the right place. And cutting blades, knives, swords are indicative of air, of communication, of making decisions, of cutting through crap or cutting through choice and making a choice. So it's coupled nicely with the air energy of the new moon in Gemini coming to fruition with the full moon in Sagittarius, which is about a higher concept of processing ideas and world stage stuff. It's getting out of play school, grammar school, and moving more into the international stage, the international world. So for us as individuals who don't necessarily work in the greater, with foreign powers or travel or engage with different countries, your outer world may be working or stretching into neighborhoods, environments, legal systems, religious systems. Sometimes people are involved in different litigation or exploration where they're stretching into realms that they don't necessarily deal with in their day-to-day life. And it requires not only enthusiasm about whatever the project is, and that sometimes the headiness of feeling that things are moving and the power of it, but also the attention to detail and the really looking at the thing so that you do it in a precise way. Precise is the word of really honing into it. Another quick scan. Do you have a question before I just check things out?
No, just it's been great listening to you.
Okay. Well, as you can tell, I get really excited once I start moving.
I know. I didn't want to break up your rhythm and flow. It was beautiful.
Well, I love doing the talking part because I write a lot of this beforehand, obviously. But when I'm actually doing the calls, I use the writing as kind of the frame, and then it's also what's flying into my head new and my other way of perceiving it. So the other part about as we get into the end of June is that there will be a Mercury-Pluto picture in the sky, and that is very... that is very telling after the Mars-Pluto trine because it forces, back to the sword, it forces more delineation of ideas, and it's not always easy. So if there's, especially if somebody's involved in litigation or anything concerning money, some kind of contractual thing, we were talking about real estate earlier, involved with this, actually, last month I talked about Mother's Day being like one of the like scariest pictures of Mother's Day I'd seen in a while for the energies that were out there on Mother's Day. It was very, very challenging energy. But Father's Day is also very, very challenging energy this year. Different how it is, but it has the Mercury-Pluto piece in the sky, so it can bring up a lot of old stuff, whether you're in touch with your father or not, whether he's alive or has passed on. Old messages, old information, if one is in dialogue with one's father, it can bring into light some sort of old situation, and it's really, really important to kind of step back and try to give yourself as much perspective as possible, because one thing about Pluto is that it has a tendency to, when it's hitting us and we're not paying attention, or those of us who are born with it very strongly usually had very early lessons in what it's like to feel like you're just in this piece that you're obsessed with. You can't let it go for whatever reason. And it might be because you really can't let it go because nobody around you will let you let it go. Or it could be that you're just obsessed obsessing about it because of a real desire to try to control the situation in some way. And maybe you can control it, and maybe you can't. But those are one of the things that is very, very strong when Pluto's involved. So Pluto, in dialogue with Mercury, the communicator, is just very much bringing up a something that needs to be said. So I would say for a lot of people, if you're really feeling like something needs to be said and you cannot have a clear, objective way of delivering the message, write it out. And whether you give it to any family member or not, it's a really good time to write it out. I would think just about for everybody who, whether you write or journal or not, that particular Sunday, it might be really good to just put aside some time, either in the morning or the evening, to just do a little download of whatever's in your head and just get it on paper. And then you can throw it into that wood stove and burn it, or you can use it as information, because there's a way to, something needs to be said around that time. And it's not just Father's Day, it's Pluto connections are slower moving, so it stays for a little bit of time, but Mercury moves very quickly. So around that time, you can uncover some kind of communication. That's something else. Somebody might come across a letter or something that has been unearthed. It's valuable in that way. But how you process the value of it, I am suggesting you would like to do it as gently as possible, because it can be painful if not said in a way that is fruitful. And just because something is true doesn't mean that the message needs to be delivered in the, like, with a sledgehammer. Okay, so then that's one powerful. So the main thing about June is the eclipses, and they're big because eclipse energy tends to be with us for a couple of months after the light, after it occurs. And if somebody is born with a planet at either of those degrees, it's particularly highlighted, and they are impacted in some way. The other thing about eclipses is they usually travel about every 18, 19 years. So about 18, 19 years ago, and I should look up the specific date, this exact eclipse occurred in the same basic degree. So let me just quickly see when that is. So sometimes what happens is people think and they say, oh yeah, that was going on then. So depending on your sign, for people who have actually Gemini planets or Sagittarius planets, they would realize or resonate with something that occurred around that point in time, which was a revelation of some sort. I'm just glancing to see when exactly it was. Because the thing about the zodiac is that it is cyclical. So there are some things that we really can look at and see patterns to, especially for those of us who are a little older than younger. We really can start to recognize how these things are moving and what effect they're having on us. Okay, it looks like it was... Yeah, it was 1992, in the spring. And it may or may not jump out at you, and again, it would depend on what planets might be actually touched by it. But we're all feeling the effect of it in some way. You would look to see where those luminations occur in your horoscope. So someone... like with the Gemini new moon, if you were Gemini rising, it would certainly be about something probably people could see that actually occurred or happened, some sort of message change. It falls in your second house, and then there's the reverse, because the first house, if one was Gemini rising, when it came to the full moon, it would be affecting partners, people who were your significant others or who you had a partnership with. So that's the way the eclipse works. They highlight a certain area of life. When it's the new moon, that's something that's beginning in that area of life. And then the full moon is, it's a culmination, perhaps. Because usually, if we're doing certain projects, we do aren't over in 2 weeks. They may take longer than that. So, but it can be an assessment or a revelation or a reckoning that occurs for whatever it was we were starting to put into motion with that new moon. So, if you know the house that you have the sign of Gemini in, that'll give you an indication of what area of life this new communication, playfulness, seed energy is beginning in, that then in a couple of weeks is going to have a potential of some sort of major transformation, especially in the area of litigation or affairs that are bigger than your day-to-day world. So, let's see. Oh, and then the last thing I want to talk about is the solstice. The summer solstice occurs on June 21st, and that is, by itself, the solstices or the equinoxes just initiate the seasons. They begin the seasons. So we look at them energetically as, it's almost like that's a big new moon energy, because you have the new moon energy that occurs once a month, but when the solstice is, equinox is occurring, it's that same kind of initiation energy when we're embarking on something that's jogging the world axis, because it's that 0 degrees cardinal, whichever sign it's in, and the summer solstice happens at 0 degrees Cancer. So when that occurs, it sets the mood or the tone for the seasonal quarter, and in the sign of Cancer, it really emphasizes what we've created, what is coming out, what we're giving birth to, because by the time we hit full-blown summer, the spring harvest is occurring and we're moving into the results of the containment. So it's got a lot to do with people who are bringing to fruition some kind of project. And as you know, anyone who's worked on something, okay, you build, you create it, it's launched, and then something else has to happen. It's out in the world, but then you have to market it, or something has to come from it. There's not, the baby's born, but God, you have to feed it. You know, something new occurs. So every time that enters in, an actual physical thing, whatever it may be, or concept that you really know you want to launch or begin, that's the next phase of it. So cancer, and there's a lot of attachment to it because it becomes something that's actually physical. There's a lot of emotion connected with what we've launched or we're bringing in when the summer solstice occurs. And we feel much more alive, or as though there's a component to it that is very celebratory and somewhat ego-based. So this particular solstice is once again a very powerful turn of the wheel, because the outer planets, Uranus is at early degree Aries, the Sun of course is going to be at zero Cancer, and Pluto is at I think around 7 degrees Capricorn, 6 degrees, so very, very close as well. And the idea of holding on to what your possessions are, what's important to you, is very highlighted. And it is important to really see what you value, what you feel most connected to in a, where you're declaring your loyalty. So that could be, again, that could be a particularly scrappy period for people who are kind of drawing lines in the sand and saying, I believe in this, and I believe in that. And it's important to try to move, know what you're emotionally connected to, but know the difference between what you're emotionally connected to and how you feel about something and the reacting to. The reacting word is the word which gets us into the place of the realm of the unconscious. When we react, we are not clear. We are acting out of habit, out of fear, out of a knee-jerk response. If after we move through that initial reaction, we have the same emotional feeling connection, if we've processed, okay, that was my reaction, is that really how I feel about it? Is that really the smartest way to feel about it? Is that really, is it really about, is it really important to me in the way I initially reacted was? And that kind of sifting and discernment is what is required of us this year in general, but every time we hit those points of cardinal emphasis, it's like we have to reinitiate, restart, redeclare, and really know who you are. Know who you are. And that comes from being able to separate how you react to things, to sifting through, getting to the nuggets of how you really feel. What response is true to you as an individual. Okay, so that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Of course, all the details of every day are in the text, but any thoughts on me or questions or ideas?
I just really appreciated the work that you put into this, and the juxtaposition of the two different types of energies, the Mars-Pluto concentrated cauldron, like laser-like focus of channeling and grappling and harnessing power of emotions, to the ability to switch into the mercurial Gemini energy of almost an air-like freedom of expression, just of emerging from this this furnace you had once mentioned, almost infern type of energy. And then, and I didn't really quite grasp the thing that you were talking about in the final stage, but actually taking all that variety of energy and culling something from it, which is finding out the ultimate question, who am I, what am I doing, and translating it into one's own inner enlightenment. So I mean, what a treaty I just experienced, and I made such a good decision of not going to the meeting and partaking of this delicious organic dinner that you have prepared for all your listeners.
Okay,
oh, beautiful.
Well,
I know I didn't miss this.
Oh, good. Well, it's also, and just timing-wise, let me just quickly glance at what was going on tonight, because last week was very challenging energy. It's one of the things we've been having are these long void of course periods, which can be very confusing to people because things don't really get done in a linear way or the way that they would like to get done. And I wouldn't really use the word disruptive, but it's not as comprehensive or productive, perhaps, as people would like. So tonight, I think the main thing was the shift was the Mercury energy, and it's with the Moon in Leo, there probably was a lot of drama going on in your being. And which may or may not be interesting, but certainly after the fact is probably a better way to find out about it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I do appreciate your being on the call, because again, with that Mars-Pluto energy, and also just thinking about it as I was talking about the way this is moving along over the next couple of months, it is very important to, when I say, I wouldn't say make selfish decisions, but I would say make self-oriented decisions, so that when you find yourself in discussions or confrontations at, and when I say you, I don't just mean you, but when anybody finds themselves in these situations, it's important to kind of pull away a little and say, what's the best outcome for me in this scenario? Or is it really in my best interest to engage? So back to the gal who decided to give up anger for Lent, it's what is the best way for you as an individual to get your message across? And sometimes it is really let the other person flail and say what, you know, whatever they want to declare or demand, and then quietly state your piece. And
right, that's excellent.
Yeah, there is, it's all part about holding that power and just using it in a way that is unarguable, because by the time you've delivered it and if the quiet, just here it is, I'm just putting this large burning thing on the table there, and I'm handling it with asbestos gloves, because I can, very carefully. And you know, you've won. And the more we're able to keep that kind of cool head, the more we're able to move effectively in this very volatile energy. And, you know, we're not going to do it right every day, because it's too trickster-like, as I said, especially when we get to
the direction. The
rug is all going to get pulled a little, so. Anyway, I'm going to turn the recording off now, but don't go away.